But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. There was a sad day in Columbia, Missouri, not too long ago. And it was during that long day that several people died in our hospitals. And for those people, their hour had arrived. There were tears of sorrow and hearts were broken, and both staff and friends and families were experiencing the pain of loss. But that was an awesome day in heaven. The angels came out to welcome those souls. The martyrs came out to greet them, and the saints of God led them to the city of the New Jerusalem to see the face of God. And there were sounds of hallelujah all over the place. If only those of us who were left behind could see what was in store for us when our end time comes, maybe some adjustments need to be made in the way we live. The fact is, the end hour is always near. The end time of everything we know and is right now. Our assumptions and our illusions about how the world ought to be can be dashed in a minute. Remember that exam you thought you aced and actually got a failing grade? A meaningful relationship gets broken. Doctor utters a trembling diagnosis. A phone call in the middle of the night coming with our worst fears. Yes, there is an end hour, and it could be now as we speak. Let's take a closer look at the end hour and see what we know about it, and maybe it won't be so frightening. They might look at it this way. Like, number one, there will be an end hour. Number two, we can't stop it from coming. Number three, we don't know when it will come. But the one thing we know for sure, the Father only knows when it will come. But all that doesn't really matter. It's the good news of the gospel that tells us that if we live our lives as God expects us to, what do we have to fear? It doesn't get any better than that. I would like to focus on the statement, there will be an end hour, an end of time. There are many ways that we acknowledge it and acknowledge that end time. When I was an altar boy, I served many funerals, and one of the common customs in my Polish neighborhood was that among the floral tributes was the family's floral piece. And you could tell which one it was, because in the middle of it was the image of a clock, depicting the hour of death, a reminder of the end hour of that person. I ran across an interesting reference in preparing this homily, and I think it made me think a little bit more about my end time and my end hour. Soren Kierkegaard was a noted Lutheran theologian who lived in the 19th century, and he spoke about the use of clocks. The theologian in him thought that clocks created an illusion that time goes on and on without a beginning and without an end. And just stop and think for a moment. He lived before Timex came out with its selling motto, "It takes a licking and keeps on ticking." And better yet, that ever-ready drummer bunny. Will he ever have an end time? I think maybe he went solar. When was the last time that you changed the battery in your watch? Kierkegaard said that what is needed were hourglasses. They constantly remind us that for each one of us, time is running out. With our glasses, there is always an end before there is a new beginning. On New Year's Eve, just 44 days away, 2018 will come to an end and 2019 will begin. We will celebrate the ending of the old year and the beginning of the new year. And liturgically speaking, the same thing happens next Sunday when we celebrate the end of the church year with the feast of the Solemnity of our Lord, Christ the King. And the following Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, year C. We will begin all over again, a new beginning. Today's gospel is part of chapter 13 of Mark's gospel, and this chapter is usually referred to as the Little Apocalypse. And the word apocalypse means revelation, and needless to say, apocalyptic literature gets our attention through frightening images of what will be the final showdown between good and evil. Now, the keys to understanding apocalyptic literature are love and hope. What we know, we all know that Jesus loves us, and by following him and living our lives the way he wants us to, we have the hope that we will be with him when our comes. You know, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus promises for every ending there is a new beginning, now and at the hour of our death. In closing, I would like to share with you a way of possibly understanding the end time. It's from an article that I recently read, and it made me feel better about my end time. It says, "The writers of fairy tales and children's stories know that going through the perils and hardships doesn't mean that the story will end unhappily." We might keep this in mind when we move through our present swatch of history, wondering if we are secure in how we are living our lives. The faithful are always safe, resting in the loving hands of God. The dangers are real. Suffering does hurt, but only God the Father writes that final chapter, and faith in him guarantees that it's good. It is not the evil that will come at the end of time. It will be Jesus Christ himself, just as he promised he would, a new beginning.